You're listening to The Awkward Apocalypse, a deconstruction podcast that examines Christian culture against the authority of Scripture. I'm Corey Kuhn, and today I want to talk about the prosperity gospel in Africa.
This is the catchy theme song. This is the catchy theme song.
So you might be wondering, what does this have to do with deconstruction? And I'm getting there. But first, I'd like to share a quick story. One day, I was trying to get a taxi in Liberia, and this very nice man in a very nice car picked us up and decided to give us a ride for free. And so we were riding in this nice car with this wealthy man, enjoying the air condition and the comfortable seats and the conversation. And he was sharing with us that he had a particular experience at a church in Liberia where there was a woman in the church who had a nice necklace that she was bragging about, saying that her husband had just bought it for her. And the pastor seemed to really like the necklace. And so the next week, the man went to church and noticed the pastor was wearing the necklace. He went on to talk about how pastors in Africa tend to abuse their power like that, how that's actually pretty common in Africa. And then he began complaining to us, saying that you guys are missionaries and you brought the Bible here. You told us what to believe, and now you're telling us to believe different things. You're now telling us that suddenly it's okay to be gay, and you're changing everything. So what is it? We're here, we're listening to you. And I think that conversation in a lot of ways reveals exactly why I want to talk about this today. Because if you're wondering what this has to do with deconstruction, I think it's this. The more time I spend in Liberia, the more I get to see what the Liberian church is like. And the more I see what the Liberian church is, the more I realize it's not really even the Liberian church. It's the American church, just slightly adapted to Liberian culture. I realize that the history of missions in this place is not missionaries coming and empowering the people, giving the people the Bible and the tools they need to interpret the Bible for themselves and accommodate it to their own culture. Instead, it's Americans coming and basically staking their territory in Liberia as far as their denominations, their theologies, and their different beliefs are concerned. Because when I look around Liberia, I see Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, AME Zion. I mean, you see pretty much everything here that you see in America. And I talked about in one of my first episodes that I believe one of the biggest problems with the church in America is that it's run like a business. But I would also say that one of the biggest problems, and I'm definitely not the first person to point this out, is that the church in America is very divided, segregated into individual denominations that tend not to work with people outside of their own groups, outside of their denominations, outside of their creeds or theologies. And the church is really divided and just doesn't work well together. And to some degree, I do think that stems from the church operating like a business, but that's a conversation for another day. But I think a lot of people would admit that that is a big problem of the American church. And so this isn't really news, but I think it's telling that we see the exact same problems in a place like Liberia, because what that means is we're basically exporting the American church to the mission field, to other countries. So these problems matter, and this is why deconstruction is so important. I share this because I want you to see that there's an actual application to everything I'm talking about. This isn't just for me to get out my anger, or this isn't just for me to correct my own theology for my own personal experience. There's a lot more at stake here. And deconstruction is, in my opinion, absolutely necessary. The church needs to be engaged in constant deconstruction, which is basically my way of saying always reforming, the battle cry of the Reformation, always going back to Scripture and examining our practices and our theology against Scripture so that we can see, have we gone off course? And I would say that the American church has gone really far off course in pretty serious ways. And we see that on the mission field. And that's kind of my point today. And so if you're not like super concerned about Africa or missions or anything like that, stick with me on this one because I'm talking about a lot more than that. This is just an example. But in order to highlight the importance of good theology and the importance of doing missions well, I want to ask a simple question. And this question has bothered me for a very long time. And the question is this: why do Africans like the prosperity gospel so much? And I try to be careful when I use the word Africans because Africa is a huge continent with a lot of different cultures and different religions. So when I say Africa here, I'm really talking about sub-Saharan Africa, and I'm making some extrapolations too, because I've had experiences in Liberia and Kenya. Both of those places, I noticed a very strong draw to the prosperity gospel. I noticed that it was really popular there and seemed to really resonate with the people and with the culture. And my question at the time, when I first noticed back in 2011, all the way till now, is why? Why do Africans like the prosperity gospel so much? It has to be more complex than I think. Because in America, the prosperity gospel is appealing to us because we want comfort. We want a long, safe, and secure life, and God is kind of a means to an end to achieve that. That's what moralistic therapeutic deism kind of is, and I talked about that in an earlier episode. That's the theology of the wealthy business church, moralistic therapeutic deism. Your purpose in life is to be happy and cozy and comfortable, and God exists to make sure that happens. But African culture is so different than that. So what is it about the prosperity gospel that is so appealing to them? Because Africans don't really want the same thing that Americans want. Yeah, I mean, we all want security to a degree and we want to live long and be comfortable, but the priorities and the values of Africans are so different. So I've always wondered, what is it exactly about this theology? And what I've read and learned in the past year or so has really, in a lot of ways, deepened my understanding of why Africans like this teaching so much. And the reason why Africans find this theology so appealing and the way that they apply it to their culture, I think is really interesting and exposes a lot. So if you've got some coffee nearby, just grab it and just relax. I'm going to talk about some things you've probably never heard of, but just soak it in. The importance is not the details. The importance is you get the major point that I'm trying to make. The way that we do missions and the theology that we have, our beliefs matter. So I want to start with the beliefs of the African people. And in a lot of ways, that can be summed up in one word, animism. If you've never heard of that word before, you're not alone. I didn't know what that word meant until like a year ago. And I've been in and out of African culture for a long time. Now, animism is not exclusively in Africa. Animistic cultures are all around the world. And as you'll see, as I kind of unpack what animism is, you'll start to kind of feel those same draws and same tendencies within yourself. My hope is that as I kind of explain what this is, you'll feel a deeper connection to really all of humanity. Because that's what I've felt. The more I've learned about this particular belief is I realize it kind of resides deep within me too. Now, animism is basically the belief that life is composed of spirits. Now, when you hear the word animism, you might immediately think of animate or animal. What distinguishes something that is animate and inanimate is life. Is there life inside of it? Is there some kind of soul, some kind of essence or spirit that is animating this thing and giving it life? And for an animistic person, they don't really believe there is such thing as an inanimate object. For them, everything is animated by spirits. All of life is spiritual. And so you might be thinking about like old tribes or ancient civilizations where they see like a god of the sun, a god of the water, a god of avalanches, and they kind of see everything that happens in terms of spirits. And that is in a lot of ways how Africa is. And so in a culture like this, nothing really happens by accident because everything is controlled and manipulated by these spirits. Now, what is by far the most influential book on this teaching for me is Gods of Power by Philip Stein. In that book, he uses the example of elephants trampling someone's crops. According to him, the first question that the farmer would have is not, how can I prevent this from happening in the future? Like, what fences can I build or, you know, something like that. The first question that the farmer would have in an animistic culture is, who did it? And now you might say, well, the elephants. No. Who did it? Who put a curse on me? Who manipulated the spirits in such a way to drive these elephants into my crops? And you see that a lot in animistic cultures. A car wreck will happen, and they want to know who's responsible. Not like who was driving, but who caused this to happen. There really aren't very many accidents in an animistic culture. Now, in the West, we come from a more naturalistic culture. We like science and reason and logic. And so the only time we will entertain the possibility of spirits is if there is clearly no scientific explanation. And even then, a lot of times we'll say, well, maybe in the future we'll understand scientifically why that happened. But for now, it's just a mystery. We'll just put in a space filler for now, like dark energy or something like that. But to equate mystery with spirit is kind of the God of the gaps argument. It's saying just because we can't explain it scientifically does not mean therefore God or spirits. It just means for now we don't know. And that's positivism or empiricism, whatever you call it. I get those confused all the time. But basically we see life in terms of science and things. We don't really see life in terms of spirits like they do. But in an animistic culture, to deny the existence of God or the spiritual realm for that matter is complete insanity. That's basically like you saying reality is not real, because that's how they understand reality, is in terms of spirits. And for an animistic person, their biggest question in life is, how do I find the most powerful spirits and then manipulate those spirits to do my will? How do I control the spirits to gain power, to gain status, to gain resources, to get revenge? How do I control the spirits? That is an animistic person's biggest question. And so in animistic cultures, you see a lot of voodoo, a lot of witchcraft, a lot of medicine men, charms, chants, those kinds of things that they use to manipulate the spirits. And so now that I've briefly outlined what animism is, let's go back to the question. Why do Africans, or let's say people in an animistic culture, like the prosperity gospel so much? Well, what does the prosperity gospel teach? It teaches basically that God is more powerful than you. In fact, he's the most powerful spirit. But then apply that to Liberian culture, apply that to an animistic culture, and it gets a lot more complex than that. See, prayer turns into chants, chants that you use to control God, to get what you want. And then they come to church with the intention of getting from this God the things that they want and trying to learn, how do I control this God? How do I get him to give me power, to give me status, to give me resources, or to give me revenge on someone who has wronged me? Because a lot of people in impoverished cultures feel powerless. They feel like they lack the ability or the resources to get to where they want to in life. And so from my experience, a lot of Liberians see church as kind of their way out. A lot of churches for the year will have like a theme, and the theme usually has to do with like crossing barriers or unleashing your potential or transcending limitations or something like that is usually the theme for the year. And so people come to church, give money, give their time and effort with the intention of using God to gain power, to get past their situation, to overcome their hardships in life. That's the prosperity gospel. You're just using God to get what you want. And so basically what that is the theology of the American church exported to the mission field and then applied to their culture. And so you kind of get the worst of both worlds. You get bad theology, and then it turns into a syncretistic religion that blends with witchcraft. And then you get the African prosperity gospel. That's what happens. And as I'm describing all this, do you feel like those same pulls within you? Like, do you ever feel like powerless to overcome your circumstances and you want to seek out something that will help you get past that? I mean, I'm sure you feel powerless a lot of times in your circumstances. You lack resources. You lack the ability to get back at the people who have wronged you. I mean, these are common things that we all feel. And I mean, it's easy for us Westerners to look down on those who live in an animistic culture and criticize them and think that they're stupid for believing the things that they believe. But man, life is so magical in an animistic culture. Like, there is really something to appreciate about it, about the way that they just assume that there's so much more to life than what you can see. Like, there's a dog who wanders around the community and it looks grimy. This dog has like sores all over it. Its eyes are droopy. I mean, it looks terrifying. I mean, it looks like the last dog on the planet I would want to try to pet. And it just kind of wanders around the community, and it's really creepy. And one of the boys told me that at night, that dog stands up on its hind legs and walks around like a human, because it is a human. The human performed a witchcraft ceremony and now is stuck inside this dog's body. And he said that if you go up to the dog and utter a certain phrase, the dog will turn around and attack you, because it's like, I guess, the person's old nickname or something like that. I don't believe it, but I still, every time I walk past that dog, I kind of like go way around it. And I think, like, if that boy was with me, I kind of want to jokingly call the dog the name just to prove that it's not going to happen. But part of me is kind of scared to do it. And it's hard for me to explain why, because I'm like, I don't believe it, but I don't want to try it either. And just living in a place where that's normal for people to believe has shown me just how magical life can be when you see life in terms of spirits. And being in a place like this, it just has me thinking, what if we introduce them to the real gospel? Because the spiritual realm definitely exists within scripture. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual stuff that goes on in the gospels that we just kind of like in the West look over and we're like, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, things like people coming back to life, demon possessions. I mean, we see a demon possessed person and we would just be like, yeah, it's epilepsy. I mean, and we say, well, that's because we're enlightened now and we're smart. But I mean, if we're Christians, we believe this thing is real, right? We believe that what the Bible says is real. And I think a lot of Christians are just so quick to dismiss the spiritual realm. And so honestly, we could really learn a lot from people in animistic cultures. And I just so badly want to see the gospel applied correctly to the African culture. And I think that's where deconstruction really comes into play. Like, in a lot of ways, I see my role on the mission field as undoing a lot of the damage that the American church has done, and then helping these people, empowering them with the truth of the gospel so that they can read and interpret it for themselves and accommodate it to their culture in a good way. Not taking the worst theology of America and then applying it to the worst parts of their culture. What I want to see in Liberia and Africa in general is just the gospel applied correctly. And I believe in a lot of ways that's going to start with Westerners relinquishing the power that they have over the people to just come in and tell them what to do and what to believe. Because I don't think that's really helping them at all. And I'm going to do a whole podcast on this idea of like colonialization on the mission field, kind of like an imperialistic approach to missions, which I see everywhere. But for now, I'll say that what I really want to see is the gospel applied correctly. Because right now, I think it's easy to look at the Liberians and blame them for their bad theology and their bad practices, but we have a shared responsibility in that. In fact, I think it's really on us. And I think it's our responsibility to undo that. Because right now, what the church in Liberia looks like is you have pastors who have basically just assumed this position of power and control. And the churches suck these people dry of their money, with the dubious promise of prosperity and blessing and marriage and degrees and going to America. I mean, I hear it all the time, the promise of prosperity in exchange for money and then telling them how to pray. And then these pastors leverage their power over the people, taking the religion of the poor and then using it against them. And then in extreme cases, using that power to exploit their people, their congregation for things like sex. And that's just the literal opposite of Jesus's example of integrity, service, and humility. But essentially, what the church in Liberia is, it's a business. And I would say one of the easiest ways right now to get rich in a place like Africa is start a church. Start a church and then show people that you're powerful by doing fake miracles, by pretending to speak in tongues, and then draw all these poor, helpless people to your church, suck them dry of their money, and then use that money to justify your own power by proving that this God is the most powerful God and they should trust him because clearly it's helping you. And then perpetuate this lie that you're functionally a medicine man, administering gifts, healing, and blessings on your people, and that you are a medium between God and the people, and they must come to you in order to access this great power that God has as you continue to invest in this business that you call a church. And in a lot of ways, that's kind of the same problems that I see in the American church. And I think that is on us. And that is why deconstruction is so important. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support the work that we do in Liberia, feel free to visit standingsidebyside.org. If you'd like to make a donation, there's a donate tab on that website, or you can just Venmo at standingsidebyside. That's one word. If you feel alone, and if you'd like to share your story, feel free to reach out to me. I appreciate so much those of you who have already reached out to me and shared your stories and allowed me to process through a lot of this. I promise it's helped me, and I hope it's helped you. Thank you so much for listening. Keep the faith.